Thank you.
Hi, family. My name is Dee Dee, and I'm a recovering addict.
Hi, Dee Dee.
Thank you. I know at first I was going to come up here and say my name is Defect, and I'm a recovering addict. But I know today that I'm progressing in that area. No, I came in here, Defect. There wasn't nothing I could find positive to say about myself. Today I don't have a reason to constantly talk about how defected I am. You know, I can say how defected I was. You know, I want to thank the convention committee for allowing me this opportunity after being part of this convention since 1992 at least. You know what I mean? With an interruption, and then we'll get into that a little bit. But as a result of finding the program in 87, I surrendered in 88. and in 1988, all I saw was fun, and more fun. And I loved and always have loved being around large groups, large families, people with a billion brothers and sisters and all that has always been my attraction. So that was my first attraction to the program. I was always interested in people that was flattering me. So I came in the program with a boyfriend, so I took through hell through my newborn crack addiction. And once I got here, I was off to the races. I think I had three boyfriends, and you know, my grandmother told me to make a decision. So I wound up making the decision and getting with somebody, moving with them, and turned around and they got married while we were living together to somebody else. And this is not to expose anybody else when I share. This is to share my experience, my strength, and the things that I've had to go through emotionally since I've been in Narcotics Anonymous. You know, that was the first incident in Narcotics Anonymous that tore me out the frame. And I acted as if I was all right. You know what I mean? I wanted to do some step work to help me find some freedom from the pain that I was in behind the person doing act by saying things like, well, you know, it wasn't even about me. Two selfish people doing what they gotta do to get that thing off, you know, but it caused me the most harm. So I never shared enough about that for me to get past it. So in the interim of all that, the man got a Norman and I married him. You know, so we already see the insanity of my disease and my thinking as I stayed here. Went on, raised two children, two beautiful children. We finally got a house. You know, I love to shop. He loved to shop, spend money recklessly. At any cost, I had what I wanted, which was all my life, because my family was the same way. You know what I mean? So I had a person that just continued my sickness in my life, you know. So once I had all these things, and I continued to build this house up, and I furnished it, I decorated it, and it was flawless, it was beautiful, immaculate. You know what I mean? And then, now what? I didn't know what else to do. Because I wasn't in a relationship for real. He was there, I was there. We entertained Narcotics Anonymous fellowship friends to the utmost. That was our connection. So once I realized that I didn't know what to do with myself, the void set in. So I was trying to fill it. And the first void, the first part of the void, that I didn't realize I was a spiritual wreck. I didn't realize that I had not even began to build on those spiritual principles in Narcotics Anonymous. I had sponsees. I'm very good at studying and sharing. Very good. Intellectual to the core. And I can give you all you need. But I was not applying it. You know, and this say application. is how it works. And so I continue. What happened was, they talk about promiscuity and all that. I call it flattery, and I call it, you know, if I like it, I'm going for it. So in the midst of me being married, raising children, my life became boring. You know what I mean? So I started going outside of my marriage, feeling justified for him doing what he did to me. So I'm living in a relationship in a household with a resentment against a man that I'm married to, and did not know how to express that to anybody. You know what I mean? I had this resentment for years, and I continue. Not did I cheat once, not did I cheat twice, but I cheated four times. And what I did was bring other people into my life and help create more problems for other people, causing them some emotional pain when I abandon them. Because I leave them right where they at, because I'm done. You feel me? And I have done that so much in my life because I didn't realize what was missing. And they weren't my problem. So I went from that to finding something that was introduced to me from people in the fellowship, which was a non-alcoholic beverage that came directly to me, and it was right on time because it was changing my mood. But I was denying the fact that it was created just like alcohol and fermented. And I was getting drunk, and it took one of my coworkers who became my confidant, because she didn't know me, them people on my job didn't know me. This is my void, y'all. I was feeling it. And it started with sex. It became a beverage that I was getting drunk off of. And then it started, you know, it turned into gambling. A lot of people don't understand that part. But then it turned into gambling, which I never shared about. And then it went on to other things. At this point in time, you know what I mean, I treated people any kind of way. And I remember, if I didn't remember nothing else, I remember the IP pamphlet, Triangle of Self-Perception, was my favorite pamphlet, and I didn't know why. All I knew was they talked about fear in that pamphlet. I didn't know nothing about resentments. I didn't know anything about, I knew I had an anger problem because I used to fight all the time. But I didn't realize that the anger was because I wasn't able to deal with the reality of my life. I had no idea. So in the interim of all this, the void was still there. You know what I mean? So I bring people in and, you know, become victims. They became victims of my circumstances all the way up until once the lady on my job told me, "You're drinking." My conscience whipped my ass so bad that I went and got me an iced tea at the bar. So that was my relapse, started way before with my behavior. And I could tell you all that today, but I couldn't see clear at all back then because I was too self-obsessed. I was too busy trying to fill a void that was killing me. Now, in the interim of all that, I developed a disease called lupus that crippled me at one point in time. And I could not live with that. I couldn't share about it. I didn't want to even talk about it, let alone go to a support group and hear them whine about it. You know what I mean? And that's how I felt. So in the interim of that, it took me a long time before I even realized that I hadn't accepted the fact that I had this chronic illness, because that's what it is. I used to say terminal because I was on a pity pot about everything. No, it was always about me and what was going on with me and what wasn't going right with nothing in my life. I could never see no gratitude for nothing. You know, so everybody was talking about how good I dress and how nice I look and all of this stuff. But in the bottom line, what you see ain't what you get. Yeah, they say what you see, but I feel like what you see is not what you get. Because I've always dressed nice. You know what I mean? But I was hurting hurting so bad from that one resentment. You know what I mean? From that one resentment carried me into a whole nother level in my life, which was destroying me because my behavior became so destructive that I was killing myself to the point of using. And that's what I chose to do. I went on to use because I could not deal with the reality of my life as it was. You know what I'm saying? And not only did I use, I stayed for a long time before I could come back and tell you all, hey, I don't want to die a practicing addict. Because I have had so many death experiences while I was out there because of the lupus. I thought I was going to live through that. You know what I mean? I thank God. I thank Him today that I finally felt His presence in my life. It took me a minute, but I finally felt the presence of God to where I no longer have to blame other people for how I feel. It's always going to be a solution to my problem if it ain't nothing else but acceptance. And because I chose to have the power of God in my life, practice some prayers, but immediately I got back in here to find out that I was always threatened. I mean, I've lived in fear all my life. And then when people done things to hurt me, I try to run from it emotionally, but it ain't nowhere to run. It ain't no running. You deal around here. You know, I've been back for 8 years. I celebrated February the 1st. My 8th year. Yeah, thank you. And I find out in the process of that I was still struggling with gratitude. I was still struggling with gratitude. In spite of the fact that I know that I'm building a relationship with the power that I never had before since 1988, ever. You know, I believe what he told me. I didn't have no trust back then. I didn't trust nothing, nobody. I definitely, as much as I said, God this, God that, you know, I got a, you know, my spirit so thick and all that kind of current on. Things that money came my spirit and all that fancy cliche shit that wasn't real. You know, things that money came by and all that. And yeah, I'm not going to take away the fact that I didn't feel good sometimes. But I know today the power that lives in me is a whole nother level of spirituality in my life. You know, I appreciate the fact that I had the opportunity to share about the faith and the trust. The faith and the trust. It ain't about me getting the careers. I have always had a career. So I realized I was still having an emotional battle with myself that needed to be addressed. And I shared that with my mother just the other day because she said we so proud. I was like, well, Mom, I'm not doing nothing that I ain't never done. I've always gotten a career. I'm always motivated to work. You know what I'm saying? But I have a issue with dealing with my emotions. And if I don't come in here and let somebody know exactly the exact nature of what's going on with me, and that's just not a cliche. That's a reality. That I will continue to burden myself. I will continue to fight myself like I always have with my self-centered angst. You know what I mean? And self-centered means reckless to me. That means I'm looking forward to another ass whooping. Yeah. And I got one. I got a good one. You know, enabler and all, I had a good ass whooping. And it was a physical, mental, and spiritual one. Until God showed up. And that was the best thing that could have ever happened in my life. I came back here and I was ready. Surrendering to the disease of addiction. Which I never even had an idea what the disease meant. And that's so important for most of us that don't know what the disease is all about. Because it's treacherous. And we hear that stuff, We don't take heed. I'm telling you, I didn't. So then I had to come and find out about the disease. Y'all ain't know I was in therapy, off of my job, at the airline all that time, because I was in mental health. I share about the reality of our lives and get real in order to get free. I can't find it without getting real. I can keep on being a superficial asshole if I want to. Well, I've already lived that life. I've lived that life. It was so cute. That was it. He was cute. I was cute. Our house was cute. Our kids was cute. You know, that was it. But the reality of my life today is what it is. You know what I mean? And I get the opportunity to let people know what's going on with me, what ails me today, what my fears are, and sharing on the deepest level that I could possibly share on as I understand it at that time. You know what I mean? And I'm realizing that one day at a time that I'm learning so much more. And they say you do the work, and then you understand the work. And I'm finding how true that really is as I move on. Because right after I did the fifth, I started having lust issues. And I was celibate for 4 years. All the way around the board. No hands, nothing. That was the bar. I'm talking about getting back on my feet. Paying attention. And remembering that lady giving me that letter before I left my commencement ceremony because she couldn't come. Said all these good things about me. She said, watch out for the flattery. Because that's your weakness. Yeah. Always been flattered. Always been given. You know what I mean? So we already realized. I was like, oh my God. I'm like, So that was a really, really important message for me to hear. Because I had no idea that was my weakness. Yeah. But I know today. And the one thing I do, I don't have 3 boyfriends. I don't have, you know what I'm saying? I'm not doing all that. You only one person. And I thank God for my process. I don't think nothing's out of order. I miss being a part of all my family that came in the 80s. As far as they jumping in pictures for 20 years and up and all that kind of stuff. And I sit there. But what's happening is I'm changing my level of gratitude because I am so happy to be here. You know what I mean? I find myself at our friend Rico's 38th year anniversary last week. And for the first time since I've been back, I stood up for the countdown. The first time. And nobody knew that. Nobody knew that. You know, but I am still welcomed and loved just the same. It's me. You know what I mean? And I'm aware that it's me. That's the blessing because I'm not going to run away anymore like I did the first time. I left Narcotics Anonymous. Because I couldn't deal. And I feel like that sometimes today. Because we can be so vicious and malicious. Backstabbing. They might not have seen you in a year. And can find something bad to say about you. Well, like I said in the beginning, I came in defective. So whatever you find, I already know. So help yourself. And that's real. And that's how I feel because I'm learning to deal with my emotions. And not run every time I hear my name or address the issue like I used to without a problem. And I ain't saying that to be vain. That's just the reality. I want to address it because I ain't had no business with my name coming out their mouth. Yeah. But I don't have to do that today. Because it's not going to change anything about somebody else and their opinion of me. You know what I mean? I'm living the best that I can. And for me to have health issues, I'm living pretty damn good. you know. So, I don't have a whole lot more to share. And I want to, again, thank the convention committee for allowing me this opportunity. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.